Tonight, the America First Committee places before you the one most important issue of today, the choice of peace or war for the United States. The America First Committee is a nonpartisan organization of loyal American citizens who urge the support and election of candidates for public office that will protect the welfare of the United States against the threat of war. Among the members of the America First Committee are such unimpeachable patriots as General Robert E. Wood, Hanford McNider, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker, Lessing J. Rosenwald, Alice Roosevelt Longworth, General Hugh S. Johnson, John T. Flynn, Charles Francis Adams, and many others of equal high standing. The committee believes that a majority of the American public realize our highest patriotic duty is to protect our democratic liberties by keeping out of foreign war in Europe or in Asia. We must be realists, not panic-driven sentimentalists. We must defend America first, last, and always. We must concentrate all our energies on building impregnable defenses for the United States. This is the path of true Americanism. Along the other road lies grim, bloody, and disastrous war.
Tonight, we bring you messages from citizens throughout the country who believe with all their hearts, as we do, people in every walk of life, but all united in the belief that America comes first. From Boston, Massachusetts, William B. Gallagher, 45 years old, married, father of five children, World War veteran, American Legionnaire. Mr. Gallagher, they say we'll never send another American expeditionary force abroad to fight in foreign lands. What do you think?
Don't believe it for one minute. One of the things that makes me maddest nowadays is the way that people who are egging us on to fight keep telling us that there will be no casualty lists. They try to make us think that the Navy will do all the fighting. That's simply ridiculous. It's exactly what they told us back in 1917. Only the American people have forgotten it. Listen, if we get into this war, we'll go in to win. That's the only way a nation like ours goes to war. If the price of victory is men, materials, and money, as it certainly must be, we'll pay that price. And if England should call on us for manpower in Egypt or anywhere else, we would have to send forces at once. War now will sure be ten times more costly than the last war. And we must face that fact.
Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. And now to Chicago, Illinois. Here is Charles A. Kerr, insurance man, 40 years old, married, two children. Mr. Kerr, if it's tremendously difficult for any nation to invade us, do you approve of our vast defense program?
I surely do. It's true, I don't believe there's any likelihood of an attack upon the United States for years to come, either from Europe or from Asia. But it's equally true that the richest nation in the world must always maintain an invincible defense. Not because we're afraid of anyone, just a matter of simple common sense. Now, I'm in the insurance business, and you can call defense insurance if you like. In a world that's ruled by force, the United States must make itself so strong that no nation or no group of nations will dare to attack us now or in years to come. That's why I'm so heartily in favor of building ships, planes, tanks, and guns, and lots of them. Let's get prepared and stay that way.
Thanks, Mr. Kerr. And now to Minneapolis, Minnesota. Here is Julius M. Grotham, 48 years old, sales executive of a printing firm. Married, two children, 22 and 24 years old. Mr. Grotham, what do you think of the Nazi school of thought?
I detest Hitler and everything he stands for, as I'm sure the vast majority of Americans must do. My sympathies are all with England in this struggle. But that doesn't mean for one moment that I think we should involve ourselves in a war to destroy Nazism. You cannot destroy an ideology by waging war against it. You cannot wipe out a type of government in other nations which the people of those nations choose and maintain themselves. You cannot impose on Germany, Italy, or any other country a new form of government which they do not create themselves. People forget that dictatorships and all their crimes are the fruit of war. They are one of the most disastrous results of war. Here in a peaceful, prosperous America, they have but little chance to get a foothold. But a long, drawn-out struggle would make even our own American ground more fertile for their spread.
Thank you, Mr. Grotham. And now to the East Coast, New York City. And here is Fred Reedy, automobile machinist, 33 years old, married. How about it, Mr. Reedy? Is the British fleet one of our first lines of defense?
Nuts. Defense from what? Hitler may be crazy, but he's not so crazy as to take us on, unless we deliberately push him into it. Even if he finally licks England, and I sure hope he never will, he'll have a hard time selling the idea of a brand new war, either to his own people or to his allies. Besides, if he can't get across 30 miles of English Channel, how is he going to get across 3,000 miles of ocean? We don't have to worry about the Nazis attacking us. What we have to worry about is that we're always getting closer to attacking them, and that'd be plenty tough.
Many thanks, Mr. Reedon. And now we swing across the country to the West Coast and Los Angeles, California. Here is His Honor Goodwin J. Knight, judge of the Superior Court of Los Angeles. 43 years old, married, and father of two bright youngsters. Your Honor, do you think our present foreign policy is likely to involve us in this present conflict?
American foreign policy is not sharply defined. But the term aid short of war is filled with dynamite, in my opinion. Our Neutrality Act permits unlimited right of purchase by Great Britain of all sorts of war materials from private manufacturers, provided she pays for and transports them herself. This is a tremendous help to her, and no one finds fault with it. But we have gone far beyond the provisions of our own laws. Already, American sailors have delivered 50 destroyers to British sailors, though it was done by a subterfuge. Now, there is talk of trading flying fortresses, tanks, more ships, and our precious bomb site. These are obviously hostile and warlike acts. And on the basis of our own actions, we'd be at war with Germany today if Hitler didn't have his hands full. Our challenges and taunting speeches to the totalitarian powers are carrying us along faster and faster. If we don't stop, we'll drive them into war with us, whether we want it or not. Look at it this way. Suppose the situation were reversed. Imagine that we were at war with Japan, and Germany traded 50 warships to our enemy in the middle of the scrap. How would we feel about it? Would we stand for it a minute? No, sir. That sort of thing is carrying us straight toward war. Don't let's deceive ourselves. Unless we stop soon, we're bound to be involved. I have already let my congressmen and my senators know where I stand. I wrote them last week.
Thank you, Judge Goodwin J. Knight. And now off to Cleveland, Ohio. Meet Mr. J.L. Burke, 28 years old, college graduate, recently registered for military service. Mr. Burke, what do you think of the recent crisis in our relations with Japan?
Well, it looks to me as though we're making mountains out of molehills. We take a few little squabbles and try to make them look like something terribly important. And all the time, our attitude seems to get tougher and tougher, as though we were already in spoiling for a fight. Of course, I'm pulling for China to win out in her own argument, but it's certainly not our argument. I certainly don't think we ought to jump into the war with Japan, and that means with Germany and Italy inside of a week, to protect the British Empire's interests in the Far East.
And Mr. Burke, how about the reopening of the Burma Road?
Well, I want the Chinese to get all the help they can. But the Burma Road is British, and its opening or closing is a British headache. When I'm in the Army, I'll go where they send me without whimpering, and I mean any place they send me. But I'd sure hate to get it in the neck to keep open the Burma Road or any road in Asia. And I don't think you can blame me.
You're right, Mr. Burke, and thank you. Now, here we are in St. Louis, Missouri. Here is Ben E. Ladd, 52 years old, married, father of three grown children, a filling station owner. Mr. Ladd, I've heard that war will solve the unemployment problem overnight. No, that's not a fair way to put it. Let's start over. Do you think that you personally would be better off or worse off if we go to war?
Well, I've had a pretty tough time the last couple of years. And maybe it's true that things would speed up for a while if we got into war. But I can't see but what they'd be a darn sight worse after it's over. The way I figure is that a good deal of the mess we've been in for the past 10 years can be blamed on the last war. And a new war is sure to last longer and, well, it'll leave us in a much worse mess. I don't think anybody could make a good guess as to what conditions would be in the United States after a war that lasted 4 or 5 years. But we all know there'd be plenty bad for everybody.
Thank you, Mr. Ladd. The America First Committee has brought you the opinions of 7 patriotic American citizens from different parts of the country and different walks of life. These 7 represent the feelings and beliefs of a vast majority of our people.
Ladies and gentlemen, the welfare of our country and the protection of our American liberties must be our sole consideration in these critical hours. Our sympathy for the European democracies and our hatred of totalitarianism must not sway us toward a war that's bound to be disastrous even though we win a victory. The America First Committee knows that 8 out of every 10 American citizens are wholeheartedly opposed to entering the present conflict. But the people do not realize how fast events are hurrying us toward war. You've heard it said 1,000,000 times, America won the last war. You've probably believed it. But nobody ever wins a war. Death, debt, and depression win wars. The committee needs your help to place the facts before the people. Everyone must think this situation through calmly, coolly, now, before it's too late. For when Americans clearly understand all the issues at stake, their united opinion will have an irresistible effect upon the nation's policies. The danger of war will be ended. Death, debt, and depression will not again be the victors. Help us now before it is too late. Send us your contributions. The America First Committee is striving to awaken the American people to the dangers which confront them. The America First Committee is working day and night to lay the cool, hard facts before the public. The America First Committee needs money to carry on this work, to expand this work, to spread this message to more millions. Any contribution, 5 cents, 10 cents, a dollar, any amount is welcome and will help. If you believe that our crying need is to keep America sane while the rest of the world goes mad, help us. If you believe that our crying need is to defend America first, help us. Send what you can now to the America First Committee, Board of Trade Building, Chicago. Our democracy is at stake. Help us in our cause, your cause, America's cause, but do it now. Remember the address. Send your contributions to the America First Committee, Board of Trade Building, Chicago.